Welcome to the Side Hustle Project, a podcast where we explore the nitty-gritty details behind what it takes to start and grow a profitable side hustle. I'm your host, Ryan Robinson, and in this podcast, I'm bringing you interviews with entrepreneurs, best-selling authors, CEOs, investors, and people just like you who are building and profiting from interesting side hustles. In today's episode, we're talking to Madeline Lambert, the co-founder of Content Refined, a Canadian-based content marketing firm that helps affiliate marketers, e-commerce brands, and SaaS companies to grow their traffic through data-backed content marketing. After starting her career in a somewhat unrelated field of project management and customer relations, Madeline made the decision to move up to a small town surrounding a ski resort near Toronto. Once she settled in, it was clear that the opportunities for well-paying jobs were pretty few and far between, so she began teaching herself the ins and outs of content marketing, writing, and SEO, something she could do remotely. It was then that Madeline started working as a freelancer, eventually landing a project with an online entrepreneur that would soon become her business partner in launching Content Refined. In this episode, Madeline and I talk about how she quickly launched a freelance career for herself in content marketing, getting paid by clients while still building her own skills and learning the ropes of creating successful content. We dive into the content marketing best practices she and her team teach and implement with their clients based all over the world, which have helped drive results like going from 0 to 72,000 monthly readers in just 8 months. We explore the Content Refined process for researching high-value keyword phrases, determining what it'll take to rank in organic search, and the content promotion process they use to drive massive traffic back to their clients' websites. As always, you can find everything we mention in today's episode in the show notes at ryrob.com/podcast. That's spelled ryrob.com/podcast. Let's get into today's interview with Madeline Lambert. Madeline, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, the pleasure is all mine. I love getting to chat with fellow content marketers. But before we get into the nitty-gritty of all of that, in doing my homework ahead of our conversation here today, it looks like you live in this amazing little ski resort town up near Toronto in Canada.
I do. I live in the best place in the entire world. I mean, I wouldn't say that today because it's like there's this brutal snowstorm out right now. That's kind of like a mix of snow and rain and ice, which isn't the best, but on the best of days, it's the best place in the world to live.
And this is a pretty dang good season too. Do you guys go skiing a lot?
Yeah, so we're snowboarders. I have taken a season off because I was pregnant last season. You don't really want to be snowboarding when you're really pregnant. but we've been out a few times this year. It's been great.
Nice. How did you wind up in living in a little, ski resort town? How'd you get there?
Well, it was very deliberate. I was living in Toronto. I was working sort of a 9-to-5 at a very, very neat startup company that did specialized in medical technology. I just got a little bit tired of the hustle and bustle of the big city, of the traffic. My boyfriend at the time, now baby daddy, he was living up here in Collingwood, and we were doing the commute back and forth for like 4 years, which was brutal and was putting a lot of wear and tear on both of our vehicles. So we decided to sort of amalgamate our lives, and it was a no-brainer for me to move up here because the lifestyle was just more conducive to where I wanted to be in life.
Yeah, sounds like you made the right choice.
Oh yeah, definitely. I wouldn't change it for the world.
All right. Well, let's talk SEO and content marketing. In college, it looks like you studied project management and human rights, which is
so random. Yeah.
What eventually led you to content marketing from, coming from a very different area of study?
Yeah. Well, I moved up here and I was kind of jobless. So I ended up just networking, making connections with people. And I was fortunate enough to meet my current business partner. And he originally hired me to figure out like the content creation solution for his portfolio of websites. So I created like this process of consistent automated content for his websites. And then we sort of packaged that process up and put a little bow on it and called it Content Refined. So that's how we sort of started.
That's cool. So you were essentially hired as kind of like a consultant, a freelancer, but then that kind of, you know, once you did your worked your magic with him, that spiraled into taking your process and, you know, kind of releasing it more broadly to other customers.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And he happened to have an audience from one of his blogs that were pretty active at that time, and sort of the ideal client. So the marketing piece kind of fell into our laps as well. So we were really lucky with that.
Yeah, that's really nice if you have that like audience built in. That way you're not, you know, starting from a place of doing a ton of, say, like cold sales outreach. You can
totally,
you know, start with warming up your existing audience.
Yeah, yeah. So it worked out really well, and yeah, I was really fortunate to sort of fall into this position that I'm in.
How did you end up meeting your co-founder, John? Was it through like mutual connections or, you know, job boards, Craigslist? What was
that? Facebook, actually. So
nice.
The weirdest, most random connection. So one of my best friends from home, which is Ottawa, Ontario, went to school, like it's such a convoluted story, but she went to school with John's sister-in-law. John's sister-in-law posted an ad on Facebook saying that John was looking for a summer intern. And so at that point I was kind of desperate. So I was like, oh, I'll do it. And anyways, we ended up connecting that way. And at that point he hired me on.
Wow, that's super cool.
Yeah, super convoluted.
Layers of connections.
Yeah, it's like a very, very removed connection, but it worked out great.
That's awesome. All right, so for those listening today who maybe aren't as familiar with content marketing, how would you describe the service that you guys over at Content Refined provide to your clients? And, you know, maybe tying that together, what's the end goal of your service for those clients?
Oh, end goal of our service. So essentially, I would describe ourselves as sort of a world-class content marketing agency. And we like to say that we push the science of content marketing forward to ensure that we're, you know, creating really high quality, current, and authoritative content for all of our clients. Mm-hmm. And the end goal is for our clients to get basically more hits on Google.
Cool. Now, when you're onboarding a new client, or, you know, let's say someone listening here today wants to get serious about content marketing themselves, what's usually the first step? Like, where should people be prioritizing where to start with their content promotion?
Oh, that's tough. And I guess it really depends, like, what kind of business you have or what kind of website you're running. But what I would generally, what I would generally suggest is that you really understand what, keywords you want to go after. And so we use a ton of tools in house to help people figure out exactly, what people are searching for in their niches. And, then I would say build out like a content map and a content plan to really understand where you want to go and what kind of content you want to create. And then I would focus on like the actual execution of it. And there's tons of stuff that goes into that, such as, you know, making sure that you're creating really high quality, amazing content, making sure that you're covering all of the, you know, appropriate topics that's going to help your content rank, and that your content is actually being written by experts in the field, because that is something that Google is currently looking for is authority, subject matter. So I would say that those are the really, really important things that you should be working on.
And I'm glad you said that authority component too, because that's something that I find, you know, so many brand new bloggers or marketers will kind of like immediately dive into writing the, you know, ultimate guide to doing XYZ before maybe they've actually done that themselves. They're just sort of chasing the keyword opportunity versus like positioning themselves as an actual expert at what they're trying to rank for.
Right, right. And I think that that's a really important piece that people have. It is a new algorithm change that Google has recently implemented. They are looking for people who are experts, but it does sort of differentiate people who are essentially just writing really, really, really long-winded blog content and keyword stuffing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a really smart direction. I'm sure it's only going to continue going down that path too.
Definitely. Definitely.
So sharing some of the best practices now from, say, like the individual article level, sticking with this kind of execution component you mentioned. For someone listening here today that's running their own blog or doing content marketing for a brand, you know, what are some of the most important things to focus on when you're publishing content with the goal of ranking well in organic search?
Yeah, for sure. So I think the planning stages is really important, a very important phase of your content creation strategy. I think you really need to plan out and understand what you're going to be writing about. So creating a really, really robust content brief that's going to essentially, you're going to ask yourself a list of questions and then answer it in your content. Answer all of those individual questions in your content. And so here at Content Refined, we use really, really great tools. Have you ever heard of the tool called Market Muse?
I actually have not. I'm embarrassed now.
No, it's fantastic. So essentially what Market Muse does is scrapes the internet for basically the article that is ranking, or the top 10 articles that's ranking for your main subject. And it will scrape all of the ranking indicators from those articles. And it's going to tell you how to produce a better piece of content than those top 10. So it's going to give you it's really amazing. So
that's
it's
genius.
It is genius. So it's going to give you different keyword variations to use. It's going to tell you how many times you should use all of those different variations within your text. It's going to tell you how long your article should be approximately. It's going to tell you the top 10 most asked questions about that topic for you to answer within your text. So that's a really, really important tool that we've used in terms of content briefing. So before you actually write the content. So yeah, that's going to help you with your briefing stages, and it's going to help you create the best piece of content that has the most authority on whatever topic you are writing about.
I like that a lot. And you know, I recently had an episode go up on the podcast with Brian Dean from Backlinko.
Oh, amazing.
One of the things that he said to really emphasize, you know, particularly as we head into 2019 right now, was not just, you know, publishing 5,000 word articles for everything you want to rank for, but instead, you know, as you said here, invest the time up front in that brief and that research to make sure that your post is actually matching the search intent of what people are looking to have answered too. So not just, you know, your idea of what should rank for this keyword phrase, but what's going to answer the best questions that your audience has.
Absolutely. And another thing that we are finding within, so we do, as I mentioned earlier, we really believe that there's a science to content marketing, and that science is evolving constantly. So we're doing tons of data analytics on trends, on tools, on all sorts of things that help with content marketing. So what we're finding right now, and I'm not sure if I'm saying too much, if my business partner is going to kill me for this, but what we're finding right now is that a lot of search queries are actually from voice commands on cell phones. So when you're asking Siri certain questions, so, hey Siri, what's the best coffee maker? For example, those are the search queries that are really, really, really becoming popular. So those questions are really important to answer, and maybe even start naming your articles in the form of a question rather than just your traditional article title.
Wow, that's really cool advice. You'll have to let us know when you guys publish, you know, a study or some more data about this. We'll
definitely
put it in the show notes.
Yeah, definitely. It's been really, really interesting to dig into some of this and to build older content around our findings. It's been pivotal for our service, really.
Do you remember the first big client that you guys landed at Content Refined?
Yes, it was a disaster. It was a complete disaster. But what I always say is that our best like SOPs come from our biggest mistakes. And so you need to look back at those unfortunate unfortunate experiences and really take away the positives. And from our biggest mistakes, 100%, it's the SOPs, it's the processes that have derived from big mistakes.
Where did that deal go off the rails? Was it just like a bad fit client, or misalignment? What was it?
Misexecution on our part, for sure. We had, you know, at that point we had flaky contractors. We had bad systems in place. We were disorganized. So yeah, it was definitely our fault, misexecution. And it led us to create an SOP around how we hire contractors and how we manage contractors. And so basically what that brought about was our hiring and firing writers SOP. And on a monthly basis, and we still do this on a monthly basis, we sift out the bottom 10% of all of our writers to maintain that baseline level of high quality.
Wow. That's a really interesting process. I haven't heard that one before, but I can see that working very well, at least in theory.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough because, contractors are notoriously flaky. And especially in this world where everything is done online and that they, you know, you might have this like fantastic relationship with them and then they ghost you, but they don't have that like personal, interaction repertoire with you.
Yeah.
And so they don't feel accountable to you the way that they would if they came into the office every day, right? So so we've really worked hard on how we manage and retain high quality contractors.
Yeah. You want to avoid that peace out, I'll be in Bali for 3 months, freelance writer.
Totally. And it's tough. It's really hard to get around that. But I do feel as though we've created systems and we have systems in place to get around that problem. And we've managed to we have a fantastic inventory of super high quality, very, very committed writers.
Yeah, it seems like things have really turned around in a big way since your first client experience there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure, I'm not embarrassed to talk about that. I think that honestly, it's the biggest mistakes are the really, really the best things that can happen to your business.
Yeah. And I'd imagine that, you know, as time has gone on, you've really like refined your value props, your pitch. So without revealing, say, you know, too much of the secret sauce, what do your clients usually get the most excited about when you have them on a sales call?
I think that that's a great question. I think that it's probably the data that we provide them with. So as I mentioned, like we have invested in a lot of really, really high-end tools that will allow us to really understand the full picture of our clients' websites. So we know exactly like what keywords you're ranking for, what you should be ranking for, what you're not ranking for. And we know like what content gaps you have, and we know what articles you have published that should be ranking higher than they are for specific keywords for you. And so when we present, our potential clients with this data and this clear map of what they need to do to have a better, more robust site, they get super excited and jazzed about that because, it's just not something that they know how to do themselves. Whereas for us, like, it's a bit of a manual process, but we have the tools in house to really be effective for our clients.
Yeah, that's super cool. I mean, you're basically giving yourselves a relatively quick opportunity to demonstrate your value props and actually give them the real deliverable too. I feel like that
definitely
makes a difference.
Definitely. And you know, we like as much as we want to make the sale as well, like if people aren't there yet, and if people like don't have the means to hire us on, like we are happy to give them that report and be like, have at her. Like that data is theirs, and they deserve to have it in a way. You know what I mean? Like it's so important for their business that it feels wrong that people don't have access to that stuff, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, especially in the context too of like, guess who they're going to come back to as soon as they can afford to help.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So as a ballpark figure, then, you know, you guys have been around for a few years now. About how much revenue would you say you're generating on a per month basis?
Yeah. Well, we fluctuate up and down because we, you know, we are like monthly recurring revenue sort of model. So we are always fighting the churn, always. So I would say that we ballpark around 50,000 in monthly recurring revenue at this point, but we have some pretty aggressive goals for the next couple of years. So I'm hoping to, well, I would love to 10X, but I'm hoping that we'll pull that up to around 150 within the next couple of years.
All right. That's a great goal.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's attainable with like the steps that we're putting in place right now and the mapping that we're doing for the business and like the people that we're hiring. I'm hiring like the smartest people in the world right now. It's awesome. So like, and honestly, that's my best advice to people who maybe need to start thinking about making a hire. Hire somebody who's smarter than you. Push your ego aside. And that's going to help your business so much more than you would ever imagine.
Yeah. And I mean, the clients that you have will also benefit in the long run. I saw that some of your clients are seeing pretty crazy results. You know, one of them, 0 to 72,000 monthly readers in 8 months. Another yeah. that went from 5,000 to 150,000 readers. How much of this would you say really has to do with, say, you know, like the actual written content quality versus other efforts that you do to go out and promote that content once it's published?
I would say that is all content, because at this point that's essentially what we're providing. I mean, they might be doing the whole social media stuff, but these, I know which studies you're talking about, and these were like actual like affiliate websites that I know weren't doing much other, you know, other sort of promotions.
What are you guys seeing working best today as far as, you know, maybe even if it's your own content promotion, but what's working best out there in the content promo world?
Ooh, that's a great question and something that I need personally to dig into a little bit more. But I would say that the integration with your blog, right into social media and email marketing, sort of getting that machine working is probably your best bet.
I like it. Mm-hmm. All right, well, Madeline, I have a few of my frequently asked questions for you. I've designed them to be short on my end, but your responses do not need to be equally so.
Oh, okay, sure.
What is your number one piece of advice to our audience here today that wants to build a business of their own?
Ooh, number one piece of advice. I would say, you're putting me on the spot here. I would say choose your partners wisely.
I like it. That's good
advice. Yeah. Choose your partners wisely. Really do the research. I am so lucky with the business partner that I got. The majority of people who choose to partner with other people on businesses do not have as good of an experience as I do. And I think that they can be fantastic, fantastic experiences, or I think that they can ruin you. So choose your business partners wisely.
What kinds of sacrifices have you had to make in order to put enough time and effort into your business over the years?
My social life. My social life for sure. So when we first started the business, I was working very, very, very long hours. And I sacrificed a lot of social time.
That is a very common one.
Yes. Yes. which, which is better now. But yeah, definitely within the first, that first year that we were really grinding hard on this, I was a total loser.
All right. Well, Madeline, this is my last question for you. What would you say has been the best investment you've ever made in the context of growing your business? And this can be in the form of time, money, tools, product, services, or otherwise.
Easy. My staff. Easy. That is the easiest one. My staff. I have hired and put quite a bit of money into the best people in the world. And yeah, my project managers, hands down, they're so smart. They're so great. They're so knowledgeable. They bring such different skill sets to the table. They offer so much more than what I'm paying.
Yeah. I mean, hiring smart, talented people that can help you do more. That's the holy grail, right?
Totally. Totally. And they're like, they make my day every day. They're so fun.
Awesome. Well, Madeline, thank you for joining us. Can you tell everyone listening where they can go to learn more about you, Content Refined, and everything that you guys are up to?
Yes, absolutely. So you can visit our website at www.contentrefined.com. I will put I'll send you a link that you can put in your show notes that will bring you to a promo page. And that is for people who are maybe starting out a business or like are hiring writers themselves. It just gives you access to our internal like article writing SOPs. So there's about 5 of them there that will that you can download and send out to a writer that will give you a really good idea as to like how to create different types of articles. So there's that. And then if people decide that they want to try out our service, they can put the promo code podcast in to receive 20% off month 1.
Yes, we love free resources and discounts. We'll include that in the show notes for this episode. Madeline, thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much. It's been so fun.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Side Hustle Project, I would love your support. Head on over to the Apple Podcasts app and give us a rating. And as always, you can catch every episode of the Side Hustle Project on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for tuning in.